Yes, that's right. Good morning, Namibia, and good morning to you, my dear listener, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, and you probably, you know, you're on a holiday. Good morning, and if you're not on holiday as well, good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio stations, and wherever you find yourself, I hope you. You are tuned into Eagle FM, and you have that Eagle FM mobile app to keep yourself to make sure that you continue to be connected and to listen to your favorite shows. You know, here, right here on Eagle FM. So, good morning to you. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chevelli, and thank you, David, for handing over the mic to Ondangwa Studio. So good morning, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, in economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines, and we keep it clear and always, always curious, asking questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, yeah, well, this morning, we quickly not going to have the on this day in Africa because we were going to quickly go into our guest on the show. Please stay tuned, as we quickly going to contact our guest because, you know, we, indicated we need to, he wanted us to do it as soon as possible. So good morning and well, stay tuned. We'll come back. We're just reaching on our guest and we will be back, in a second.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafa sana na na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo otaingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakudo nilanditoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu moambo lengira selma konara heta tuimu ndatu heari hamano tano owambiyaji Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events.
Announcement that I
basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
You gave me a hard
call them
copy.
Now and
then I didn't get that. And also
270-3727
Limbo.
A very good morning to you. A very good morning, Namibia. And you are tuning to Unpacking the Day, where we dive into the story shaping our communities, our economies, and our lives. So today we are looking at something that could be a real game changer for farmers north of the Red Line. Midco has been in talk with Shoprite Checkers Group, the biggest food retailer on the continent, about partnership that could open doors into Central African market and for our northern commune of producers. Access to big new market could be a lifeline they have been waiting for. So joining us is Midco's interim CEO, Albertus Achonop, to help us unpack what this all means for farmers, for the industry, and also for the country. So, Ambassador, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning and thanks for having me.
All right. So this is a big story, and I think everyone from Rundu to Katima Mulilo will want to know what it means for them. So what is exactly is this potential partnership with Shoprite Checkers about?
The efforts that we are making to supply or to export Namibian beef.
Yeah.
Manifold. One is obviously the traditional export market, the international export markets, the Norwegian quota, as you know. That's every year. It's something that this year we have been able to fulfill ahead of the schedule end of December deadline.
Yeah.
That's a quota that we share with Botswana on behalf of the SACU countries, because we are the only two countries that can export into Norway. The rest of SACU cannot.
Mm-hmm.
The other avenue has traditionally been the European Union. And as you know, Namibia is the only country that can export to EU.
Yeah.
China and the US. No other African country has that privilege. Our real challenge is not whether or not we have market access. Our real challenge is whether we have enough product locally to be able to satisfy market demand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where stool food has been a problem. During years of drought, farmers destock, so we are able to buy up large amounts of local product for export purposes. During good rains, farmers restock. And so there's been a huge limitation this year on how much we can buy from the local farmers.
Yeah.
Now, in the context of what you're asking, in the discussions we've had with the Shoprite Checkers Group, this discussion predominantly is aimed at taking products from the northern communal areas.
Yeah.
And to be able to, in the first instance, export that to Angola.
Mm-hmm.
So Checkers would basically buy from us and take it into their retail outlets in Angola.
Mm.
The next phase of that conversation would result in us moving our product into DRC, also with the same group. We've had many instances in the recent past where business people have approached Midco and made all kinds of promises that no, we can buy the product and so forth.
Yeah.
But what has resulted quite often is that we would move the product and people don't pay or they just disappear. So what we're doing now is to minimize the risk by dealing with a large retail distributor so that way we are able to know should we have a container that's gone missing, we know where to go and find it.
Yeah.
So for us in the northern communal areas, Rundu, from our, the main abattoir would be Rundu in Katima. And in the central north, you have both Utapi and Enana as well.
Mm-hmm.
But those are much smaller and they are not, they Enana is operational.
Yeah.
Utapi, we still have to do a few things, but that in the first quarter of next year should be up and running.
All right. So
that's the long and short of what we are attempting to do.
Yeah. So what makes Shoprite Checkers an ideal strategic partner for Midco at this stage?
For one,
yeah,
it is the largest retailer on the continent.
Yeah.
And secondly, we are looking for a trusted partner that has the track record of moving products seamlessly across the continent. It takes away the challenges we might have with logistics and middlemen and all kinds of middle women and all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You basically have one relationship, and that relationship means that on volume, once we reach certain volumes, we're able to move large amounts of stocks straight into the rest of Central Africa.
Yeah. Now, the red line farmers, people north of the veterinary condom fence, have been historically cut off from many markets. How does this partnership directly change their reality on the ground?
Well, let me just say what is commonly being ignored or is not known.
Yeah.
The product from the north of the red line are actually available in the local market already.
Yeah.
Through what's called a commodity-based trading mechanism that the Ministry of Agriculture has operationalized for a couple of years now.
Mm.
So you'll be surprised that you go to a major restaurant in Windhoek and you're actually eating it from Katima or from Rundu. As long as it's off the bone, it's able to move. So that reality is lost on most of us, and we just pretend, those who are in the know, for different reasons of expediency, we pretend that apparently these products don't move out of the red line.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that is true is that many markets, especially in the Middle East and so forth, are not averse to taking product from those areas.
Yeah.
So we've been able to move containers small scale though, already to Qatar, because our abattoirs in both Rundu and Katima are certified, halal certified, but the certification system is from Qatar. Each one of the jurisdictions have their own certification systems for halal systems, so you'll have to comply. But for now, we are compliant with the Qatari halal system, and therefore we can move product into Qatar.
Mm.
The other place where we've been moving product without any song and dance has been into Angola and to Diashi already.
Yeah.
There's consignments that are moving from there. So this is not absolutely a new
development. We're quickly just going to have a short commercial break, and then we come back to that.
All right.
Yeah.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. So welcome back. So do you want to finish the point you were making?
I was just making the point that our products have been moving into Central Africa,
and
not any country north of Namibia already. This transaction with Shoprite Checkers Group just means that we can now do larger volumes. But as I said at the very beginning, market access is not the problem.
Yeah.
Our challenge is in having slaughter-ready animals that can be processed and exported. That's been the biggest problem. And this, in the communal areas, this is more especially acute. Because the reason that most of us farm, typically, is definition of wealth is not how much money I've made out of my livestock. It's how many head of cattle I have.
Hmm.
And if I can say I have 2,000, I'm considered a wealthy person. But if I were to say I've sold 2,000, everybody else would probably shun at me and say, but you're a foolish person. Why are you selling wealth? So there's these residual issues that we have to go past to begin to assist farmers to think of business of farming as a commercial enterprise and not just something that one does traditionally and just to say I have lots of lots of head of cattle.
Yeah.
But that's more long term, and that's our challenge across the country in many communal areas.
Yeah.
So if we can have commercially minded farmers who would approach us and say, here is the livestock for sale, we have the market access, we can do that. Mm-hmm. The other, as you know, the bigger debate for farmers in the communal areas, this is both north and south, has been the question around what's called the equalization fund.
Yeah.
There is a commitment from government to have allocated 100 million Namibian dollars to actualize that fund through MITCO. And the purpose of it is for us to use that money to equalize what we pay the commercial farmers and the communal farmers. So the intention is that government basically subsidizes the price. And with that, hopefully, that becomes, that incentivizes communal farmers to sell more. That's the intent. That fund, the money's haven't flown to us yet. At the present, we subsidize the communal operations from the commercial side of the business without public investment thus far.
Yeah.
So, but that's the intention, and that's government's stated objective to be able to mainstream communal farmers into our business.
Yeah. So your facilities, the Rundu and Katima Mulilo, what is the current slaughter capacity at each of these facilities? And will you need now to upgrade them to meet the ShopRite requirement?
Actually, as it is, the Rundu abattoir probably operates at 30-40% of its capacity.
Yeah.
So we can move within a week, up to 1,000 animals, but that we are not even reaching yet because throughput is very low. Farmers are not selling, and that's a significant problem. Katima is the same. We're not operating at maximum capacity as yet, so there is no need for further upgrades.
Yeah.
What has happened in the last year that, especially in the last quarter, is we've also now brought online for the farmers that are based in the central north and towards the west, both Enana is functional. That's about 50 animals a day that we can slaughter. Then Utapi is similar, and we are busy finalizing and about to commission a processing plant in Ongwediva. Which will have the capacity to process up to, I think on a weekly basis, 1,500 animals.
Yeah.
So the intention is that from Utapi and Enana, we would slaughter and then process that product in Ongwediva. That processing plant, as I said, is almost ready for commissioning. It's just final technical checks been done.
Yeah.
But everything else is completed. In the next year, we should have, therefore, the ability to move product from any of those abattoirs, whether it's Katima or Rundu. And as you know, Rundu is the most modern one because that was operationalized 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's a world-class facility. It has all the certifications for export. Katima requires a little bit more work, but it's certified for export, and so it's also ready. It's good to go.
Yeah, you just mentioned transport now. Transportation and cold chain logistics are critically when you are moving beef across borders. How is MITCO preparing its supply chains for infrastructure for this expanded continental reach?
That's the single largest cost we have to incur. So let's just think in the domestic context first before we think across borders.
Yeah.
If you, the logic that we would slaughter in Enana, then freeze that carcass overnight, move it by road to process it in Ongwediva is a cost.
Yeah.
Now, before I even bring the animal to the slaughterhouse, to the abattoir in Enana, I have additional cost. I'll have to pick it up from the farmer and bring it to my doorstep to process. That's additional cost. So when you finally do the math, the final price that I realize in the end is very marginal.
Yeah.
And so it's a very expensive business. That's just in a domestic context. Once you begin to say, now we need to move into Angola, DRC, and further afield, it gets compounded even further because these are freezer trucks you need.
Yeah.
Refrigerated trucks that move. Those trucks, if there's any delay at any of the border posts and so forth, it's just every day that takes by, it costs accumulating. So it's a very expensive process, and that's why working with an established retailer like Checkers ShopRite, we minimize the risk but also control the cost that way, because we will provide to the client to a convenient doorstep for us, and from then it becomes part of their logistics across the continent, which is very well established, and they know how to move products seamlessly across the continent. So that helps us in a transaction like this to at least realize a reasonable price that keeps our business afloat.
Yeah. So when you're talking about market now, Central African market are diverse, from DRC maybe to Kenya, from Zambia to Angola. How will you adapt your product offering to suit, you know, different consumer tastes and preference across those regions?
Fortunately, we are not in the retail space. Oh. We are in the wholesale space. So whether the client prefers chilled or frozen is the only differentiator as to what they're going to get. Mm. The next differentiator is with respect to the types of cuts that they prefer, and that's universally accepted in the meat industry, red meat industry. So we don't process, we don't package. Our packaging really is just at the wholesale level, and the kind of cuts we do.
Yeah.
Dictated by the type of client and what kind of cuts they want, and whether it's frozen or chilled. Because when it's chilled, it can stay on the shelf for 6 months. So a product can move across to the end consumer during 6 months. And that's how you tend to control your cost in that logistics value chain.
Yeah. And the other thing is competition, you know, competition in the retail space is fierce. How confident is ShopRite in Namibia beef as a competitive product against other African suppliers?
Well, it's the largest retailer on the continent, and I'm sure that speaks volumes about their ability to compete.
Yeah.
But that's not for us to comment on, but I think we are not doing an exclusively ShopRite Checkers deal. We will speak to every conceivable client that meets the minimum requirements that we have in terms of just transparency, no money laundering and all of that stuff, in compliance with all the financial regulations that we have to comply with.
Yeah.
But we're not doing anything exclusive. We will engage every client and any client as we've done historically across the continent.
Yeah.
The challenge for Namibian beef generally as a complete industry is the number of livestock we have.
Yeah.
We wax lyrical about the fact that we can export to US or China. It's a near impossibility to satisfy even the smallest village in China. And there's also the next real challenge, other than the fact that we don't have the volumes.
Yeah.
The next real challenge is price that we realize on the international market. Ultimately, we are a business, and we'll have to run on commercial terms. And whenever we sell to a jurisdiction, we look at what's the best price we can realize. At the present, we know that the best prices on the international market is in the EU. And it's an established market, it's established logistics value chains that we have complete confidence in. The same thing with the Norwegian market, you'll see that the in terms of movements of price, at present, it's the best price you can realize, because in the Northern Hemisphere, during the winter months, there is no local products on the market. So if we move in before the end of the European summer, end of winter, we're able to get the best price for our beef that we can. Because we're a niche player, because we are small, it means we'll have to look smartly at where do we get the best price.
Yeah.
Those big markets of China and the U.S., unfortunately, are very competitive spaces, because then you're entering into competition with Brazil, Argentina, and all the big players who move bulk and big bulk compared to us.
Yeah.
So we choose where we go, and we choose very carefully. And also we have long-term relationships that we'd rather nurture than simply run after new markets. On the African continent, in the context of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, what this does is, what that regime does, it allows us now to move product without the hassles of import duties.
Yeah.
And that's a big game changer, and it's something we've you might have seen. We made an announcement about moving hides into Kenya recently.
Yeah,
and that was at the back of the fact that we now finally have something that allows us to move across borders without limitations.
Yeah.
So more and more, you will see us move product across the continent in ways that are more convenient. If we can use Walvis Bay more, and do port support, it's even better for control purposes.
Yeah, the value addition, it's one of the priority this administration is actually focusing on. Will MIPCO be looking at value added product, or is this mainly about raw beef supply?
That's a very good question, and it's an absolute priority for us. As you would know, historically, we had a canning business, cannery.
Yeah.
Elualo beef from Oshakati cannery was a huge opportunity for us to move large volumes of stock. There is a reason why you would have in the northern communal areas a cannery. It actually makes business sense, because there's a lot of the product you can't sell abroad in the frozen or chilled form.
Yeah.
But you can sell it anywhere in the world.
Great news. Imports just got even better. We have better.
All right. Just go on. Yeah.
So you have, so canning is something we are going to get back into. There was a second cannery here in Windhoek that we are looking at reviving.
Yeah.
As far as additional, value addition is concerned in the, with our hides. At the present, we process it up to what's called wet blue, which is just ready for the next client to buy and finish up, and into finished leather goods. We are now looking at partnerships in that space so that we are able to finish the whole value chain with our hides in the country. The other area that you will probably see a bit more innovation is our Mitma brand. The Mitma brand, as you know, sells offal and soup bones and all of that. Clients tell us that our bones have more meat than our competitors, and that's why it's very popular. We want to now see how we can package that and increase the distribution outlets for more and more Namibians to be able to take advantage of our products. So there is a number of avenues for value addition that we absolutely have to look at.
Yeah. So and how does this partnership align with Namibia's broader economic goals?
What this does is, so in terms of the law, MIPCO's core business is to support producers in livestock value chain. So, and it's also not just support, but it's to stabilize the sector. Mm. That's the other provision of the law. And what that means is that we'll have to grow the sector by all means possible. So the equalization fund that I spoke about earlier, the government's intent with that is to get more and more of the livestock from the communal areas to become part of the mainstay of our industry. And with that, it means that we are able to keep more farmers on the land, that we are able to encourage more people and incentivize more farmers to farm on a commercial basis and increase the benefit that the commercial benefit that they derive from their livestock.
Yeah.
So broadly, it given that government's focus is on agriculture, in that the livestock subsector is actually the largest employer within that, we think that we can continue to retain jobs in the sector, but also grow the sector to be able to attract more farmers to enter this business.
Yeah. So you have got experience in governance, economic diplomacy, and value chain management. In your view, what is the biggest policy change Namibia needs really to make and to make to truly now unlock opportunity for the northern farmers?
There is no more need for policies. Mm. We don't need a new raft of policies. Actually, the regime that we have has served the livestock sector very well. Remember, there are many countries that don't enjoy preferential access for their livestock products to many parts of the world.
Mm.
And Namibia is an exception. And that's to do with the kind of legislative environment we have, the policy space that we operate in. All of that is in place.
Yeah.
What is required now is that if the 100 million equalization fund is operationalized, that unlocks additional value for the communal farmers.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's a business. It's not charity. And farmers, to stay on land in a semi-arid country where it's very difficult, the input costs are extremely high, they have to have incentives to farm. So my sense is that we probably have to move more and more into implementing all of the raft of laws and policy spaces that we have created. It's not, we don't need any more new regulations or any more new laws to promulgate.
So let's say this partnership rolls out successfully in a year or so. What does success look like in a concrete numbers? How much Namibian beef are you hoping to move through ShopRite channels within the first maybe 12 months?
Well, here is the historic reality that we have to confront as Midcore. We had a relationship with the same group, Checkers ShopRite.
Yeah.
That relationship ended 13 years ago to date. And it had to do with a lot of our own internal challenges and the inability to meet the client needs on a consistent basis. So we were not able to move product. We couldn't keep the promises that we've made. So the intention this time around is that we're not promising large-scale volumes. We want to earn our space and our respect on the basis of progressive relationship building.
Mm.
And we'll have to do this slowly. It's not going to be, it's not an event, but we think that this is going to be neither a sprint. It's going to be a marathon.
Yeah.
So in that context, I would not venture to say these are the kind of volumes we want to move, this is the kind of revenue targets we have. It's early days, but as we progress and as we keep the promises that we've made to this large client, we're hoping that in the fullness of time we should be able to say to you, we've commenced, 6 months hence this is the kind of volumes we've moved, and we are now able to confidently raise those numbers to what could be absolutely lucrative business partnership for both of us. You have to remember, we're not going into this as Minos or as Beggars. This is a commercial relationship where we have to realize the best price we can so that we are able to pass that benefit on to our producers in our value chain.
Mm.
If we don't do that and we offer our product at a low price to a client who can potentially pay more, then we're also not doing justice. And it could be at that point where we would have to say, well, we don't get the price we want. We might have to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And this is why we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. Far from it. We continue to have and nurture all the other relationships that have served us well to date, but also looking at other partnerships. You remember, once we spoke briefly about the value addition.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the cannery up and running, that product moves en masse into the rest of the continent.
Yeah.
It's our Texan brand was very well received in Ghana, Nigeria, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia. So those markets for those kind of value-added products would still have to be reactivated. And at the back of it, we would plea and we'd hope that we're able to offer good price to our local producers so that we increase our throughput. And therefore, we are able to move more product on behalf of the sector across the continent.
Mm. Yeah. Just before I let you go, there could be other challenges that you maybe should worry about. Say, for example, climate change, disease outbreak, especially disease outbreak, and global price fluctuations. You know, what is your contingent plan if something disrupts cattle supply in the northern region, for example?
We have, as a country, all of those things that have compounded us since time immemorial.
Yeah.
And I think having had a very robust set of regulations, very stringent regulations that control the red meat subsector, I think we have prevailed as a country through all of those challenges that you've just cited. The unfortunate reality is that we will be confronted, as is the case in all over the world, by disease outbreaks and so forth that we have no control over. There are neighbors of ours who are unable to move any product because of the foot and mouth disease outbreak, and they don't have a handle to the extent that Namibia does. It is credit that needs to be given to our veterinary services. We hate them because they stick us for rules.
Yeah.
They keep us on our toes, but every night you go to sleep knowing that we have a sector that can be relied on.
Yeah.
And then that rules don't get bent for any expediency, whether it's political or otherwise. And I think if as a collective the country continues to do what we do, we should as a manufacturing business within this space, remain confident that there will be disruptions will come, but hopefully we should still continue to exist the day after and continue to prevail in support of the Namibian producers.
Yeah. Ambassador, before we wrap up now, let me put it this way. What keeps you awake at night about pulling this off, you know, pulling this vision off, and what gives you the most hope that it will actually work?
What keeps me awake is the simple reality that I pray the factory operates the next morning.
Mm.
This factory was built in 1954, the main one that we have in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Like all grandparents, it's going to have its teething problems. So that's at an operational level what keeps us awake every day. The second thing is that we pray we don't have the disease outbreaks that could disrupt the sector in a major way.
Yeah.
But why am I hopeful? This business has some of the most experienced the best skilled and the most dedicated workforce I've ever seen in my short life.
Yeah.
And the reason that you don't see so many people leave Medcor is not because they have no alternatives. As you know, competitors are opening shop and people could have gone.
Yeah.
But many stay because they love what they do and they are good at what they do. With that kind of skill set, if we can just continue to motivate our people to be at their most productive best, I think any vision that we set ourselves can be realized. We just have to carry every employee of Medcor along, every stakeholder that makes up part of our value chain as part and parcel of this broad, ambitious vision to support the Namibian livestock producer.
All right. Anything that maybe I haven't asked you that you would like lastly to share with our listeners before I say goodbye?
We touched on it briefly, but I think it's important to note that many people approach Medcor with the view to say, well, look, I have this client to sell more beef and so forth.
Yeah.
Our problem is not market access. Our problem is supply side constraints.
Yeah.
If more and more entrepreneurs can think about foregrounding, backgrounding, if they can think about feedlots, if they can think about procuring large stocks of animals, put them through their own feedlotting, get them slaughter ready and supply us, we are ready to do business. That, I think, is the biggest opportunity that many people miss.
Yeah.
It's not to take ready-made product, but it's to be able to supply us with ready-made, slaughter-ready animals. That opportunity exists for many entrepreneurs in Namibia, and I'm praying and I'm hopeful that many people would see that opportunity and take advantage of it.
All right. Mr. Albertus, thank you for joining us on Unpacking the Day and for shedding light on what could become one of the most important development for the Northern Communal Farmers in years. So we appreciate your time and look forward to hearing how this negotiation are unfolding.
It is entirely my pleasure, and may you have happy holidays ahead.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's Mr. Albertus Achamab, our CEO, interim CEO of Medcor. So yeah, this is we unpacked the story yesterday. So we couldn't get him yesterday. So we managed to get him today. Yeah, just to give us more detail on this potential partnership with Shoprite and Shoprite Checkers Group. So you heard yourself and the possibilities. And actually, the last things that he have said, this is an opportunity for any upcoming farmers or farmers to... The problem is not the market, it's actually the supply. You know, so slaughter ready kind of product. So yeah. So what is your take? What is your reaction? 0808-333-66-091. You're most welcome now to come through and have your opinion and your reaction to our interview. 0833-66-091.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni yaaji. Eagle FM. Get
Imba ya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Walire ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyune vya peke kwa londola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe. So, tuika ovingi no kukara noruta ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. O presente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o presente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeve umurongo na ivari moshimariva. Ito warerera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend.
All right. Good morning, and welcome. Our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 8. And so we just had an interview, very, very interesting and informative interview with the interim CEO, Albert of Midco, Mr. Ambassador Albertus Alchemer. And looking at the something that could be a game change, as they say, a really game changer for farmers north of the red line. And Midco has been in talk with the Shoprite Checkers Group, South Africa, which is actually the biggest food retailer of the continent on the continent. So they've been talking about a partnership that could actually open doors into the central African market. So, yeah, we talked the bits and the ins and outs of what possibly, what are the chances, what are the opportunities, what are the challenges. So with the CEO. So please, you're most welcome now to, if you would like to react on that or you want to add your own opinion or your contribution. You could be a farmer, and maybe you see this could be a farmer in the north, on the north of the red line. So, and you see this as an opportunity, something that you want to celebrate, or see as an opportunity that would make much of a difference in your business, you know? So, yeah. And, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. That's the number you can, dial, call, to have a discussion on this matter. So, well, and if you not, I talked about this yesterday in depth. You know, and I just wanted to consolidate it, with the CEO, on what we have discussed yesterday. Very good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, that interview was so lengthy.
Yeah.
And for me to go to point to point on the question that you posed, I may not do justice.
Yeah, no, just add your reaction or whatever point you want to make. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Mm. Thank you for the opportunity. So, yes, for me, I am confident that I trust in leadership and management style.
Yeah.
We have turned around some of those institutions which were really limping.
Yeah.
And also on his diplomatic experience and the knowledge, like you asked, is quite vast. And I remember at one point where I was listening to him, he mentioned it. He was actually emphasizing the points, key issues, how the ambassadors and all these representatives can really market our country. Yeah. Now we have heard the market is not a problem. So what the problem is for us to organize ourselves within here, he has mentioned those well-established markets, asking about the competition. And imagine, I'm so much interested on the cost-effective.
Anke kuka kuka muningo iko engope. The market is there, so that's what is needed. You know?
And you know what we are saying? So he mentioned about this commodity based this strategy.
Yeah.
So even if you Because the attitude is that yes, when I have Shunda Shengo, Shimune, Omafera, Tano, Ikombo, Takwebe, Ditawebe, and Gobe.
Not the money in the bank. It, you must have physical animal.
That's
the education that we actually need, you know? Yeah.
Well, let's really decolonize that kind of education system.
Yeah.
So I think it's just very important that yes, if they have partnered up, my interest is just that yes, we even ask about the competition.
Yeah.
And then taken care of. Apparently, and what he said, I respect him so much because his article in Confidante, all those days I used to read him when he was away.
Yeah.
So now, this competition, if the registrations are okay, the statutory provisions are okay.
Yeah.
And it's only the implementation that is giving us the tough time. But we have got implementation action plan.
Yeah, no, that's we have. As I ask him, is any, with your experience, do you think we need any other policy to make these things more happening? And he said, well, we don't need policy anymore. We have the policy. The whole question is just implementing what we have already because.
Also have a document, any plan, any strategy, whatever that is coming up, whether it's a long-term plan or short-term or whatever,
yeah.
They are accompanied with an implementation action plan.
Yeah. As I said, I think I agree with him. We don't need much. We have the plans. We have the policies. In Namibia, we're good at that. So the problem, the disease that we have, it's implementation, it's execution. That's the biggest.
Ethical leadership, ethical management, where we have people delivering on issues that are very crucial. Like he said, in the past, what we have been missing is to make sure that we implement those kind of things.
Yeah.
We have so big market and the people are there facilitating these things. The problem is ourselves.
We are the only country in Africa that actually have this market and US and China. We're the only country that have actually those markets.
But the problem is our entrepreneurs. You know, anybody can become an entrepreneur. Let's not, that concept sounds so threatening. And that we think it's only those maybe who have studied entrepreneurship, who have studied economic or whatever. They are the only one who can create wealth. But sorry, my brother. I think I need water here. So what we are saying is that the spirit, we need to decolonize and unlearn some of those attitudes that we have, that entrepreneurs, because this thing, it's only us. The entrepreneurs, even the retailer market there that they are talking about. Shoprite and all those entities have come in. And we can then negotiate and say, yes, out of this 100,000 of livestock that I have, how many can I sell?
Yeah.
Can I approach these people or Shoprite or whatever, the packaging and things like that? The thing that I also want to know there is that the packaging and all these other things are done there. Let's now make sure that the Shoprite is creating that supply chain,
yeah,
the value added kind of product that you're asking, so that they don't just bring their sheep to, Shoprite, they are also here. But if I'm at Congo now, where my products are, I want to make sure that the skin that is remaining there,
yeah,
is utilized within the domestic market here, at my own village, actually.
Yeah.
And then now they can pull out, they can peel out the skin and all these other things, and make sure that whatever the kind of the rest can also go. At least we would have created more employment here.
Yeah.
Before that final product goes, that kind of arrangement can also be done. It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, no, it's possible. Yeah.
So, Mike, I think I can just end up here.
Yeah, Induka Munengobe, or market up here. Induka Munengobe.
God bless.
Wait, 3666091. 3666091. If you want to take part in our discussion and the interview that I have earlier, if you were listening with the Midco interim CEO, Mr. Albertus Ahomab. 0833-66091. All right. So after this short commercial, we change gears if you're not coming through.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, good morning. It's 9 o'clock. Our time is 9 o'clock, and we're coming to you direct from Ondangwa Studio, and we are live. So, yeah, we have still an hour and an hour to go, and by 10 o'clock, we will definitely hand over again to the colleague in Windhoek for the Kuthamosha that's coming up at 10 o'clock with that France. Make sure that you tune in for that. So, okay. So let's change gears. This is unpacking the day. This is where we slow down the news, pick it apart, you know, and make sense of what it really means for you and me, you know. And I'm Michael Suvedi. And in this segment, we are talking about money. All right, we're going to talk about money, but not just any money. Okay? We're going to look at the kind that moves in the shadows. Okay? The money that actually move in the shadows. You know the money that move in the shadow? So here's the headline. Okay? Namibia has just been ranked the fifth best in Africa for controlling money laundering and financial crime. So we are the fifth best in Africa for controlling money laundering and financial crime. So that is according to the Basel Anti-Money Laundering Index for 2025. All right. That's a good news. Sounds like a win, isn't it? Sounds like a win. Well, there's also a twist. There's a twist. At the very same time, the European Union has placed Namibia on its list of higher risk jurisdiction. Yeah, jurisdiction for financial transactions. You know? So, yes, those things happen almost back to back. You know? So today we're going to unpack that contradiction. You know, we're going to go unpack that contradiction. How can we be one of Africa best performer? You know, one of the African best performer, but still be labeled high risk by the European, you know? Yeah, by the EU. So how is that not a contradiction? All right. So now, the Basel AML index, the Basel Anti-Money Laundering Index for 2025. When I say AML, it's for Anti-Money Laundering Index, yeah. So, yeah, it's like a report. When we talk about the Basel AML index, it's like a report, a report card for countries. Okay. It doesn't measure how much, I think we have to be clear that it doesn't measure how much, crime is happening. You know, instead it measures how ready and able a country is to stop. That's what it's measure, to stop financial crimes. Like money laundering and terrorist financing. So that's what it does. It measures that. So the scale goes from zero. The scale goes from zero to 10. Now zero means almost to risk, almost no risk. If you are zero, that means almost no risk. 10 means high risk. So Namibia score for 2025 is 4.78. 4.78. That's down from 4.89 last year and 5.09 the year before. So slowly by slowly, we getting lower and lower. So the lower the number, the better. Okay. So, and that's the direction we're actually moving into. All right. So, and being fifth best in Africa means we are in the same league as countries that have strong laws, strong institutions. And this is what also, the ambassador was saying, Mr. Alkhomet was saying. So, that there are strong laws, there are institutions. So all we need is the enforcement. So that means we are in the same league as those countries that have strong laws, institution, and at this point in time, enforcement to keep dirty money. So to keep dirty money out of their economies. So, and that's what we as Namibia are trying to do. Now, why this is actually important? Why this is important? Because it would affect you. It would affect me. It would affect the entire economies, because money laundering is not just about, it's not just about criminals. Okay. So it's not just about criminals. It's about, as I said, it will affect, you know, economy, to affect you, to affect me, to affect the entire economy. So Now, when dirty money, you know, when dirty money freely, and when dirty money moves freely, in a country or across the borders, whatever the case may be, honest business suffers. You understand? The honest business suffers. Bank can be destabilized. And for an investor, they can pull back when there's no control. You understand? They can pull back because their money could could disappear, you know, in a flash of an eye. So, well, if whether that is English. So, it's like a termite. What do you call that? Termite? Yeah, it's like a termite in a wooden house. You know, the structure might look fine from outside, but inside, you know, it's being eaten away. So that's what I've said, this money in the shadow. So it's being eaten away. So that's the problem. So maybe the question we need to look at is, why is Namibia is improving? Why are we improving? So how did we get here? How did we get to become actually one of the, you know, the fifth best? And in this, so we have been making changes for years. Namibia have been making changes for years, especially since the Financial Intelligence Act of 2012 came into force. This law gave our Financial Intelligence Center the FIS, the FIC, not FIS, the FIC, the power to monitor, the power to monitor suspicious transaction, also to enforce compliance, and also to work with police and the Anti-Corruption Commission. So that, because of that, that's how we started to see some improvement. Well, if we fast forward to our famous book that we have today, the National Development Plan 6, which also has a very clear target. That's why I said, people, you must read. That's what Kanjengo Kwankwanyoka said. Read. Yeah? We need to read. You can only be involved in a conversation when you read. Yeah? So 2026, Kanjengo is asking, we must read. And that's true. That's also my really message. If any message that I have, start reading. That's my message. Read. That's my wish message for you for Christmas and for the new year. Start reading. That's the only way we can engage. You know, we need to develop a skill-based personnel, if you want, you know. So now, as I said, fast forward to this document, National Development Plan 6, which has a clear target, you know. Here it has a very clear target. It's strange. This is one of the clear targets that you have in National Development Plan. So, which actually cut illicit financial flow from 9% of GDP to, in 2024, to 5% by 2030. You understand? So that means less money is sneaking out of the country illegally, and more money, you know, staying here to build roads, to build, you know, to fund schools and create jobs. So that's what, you know, what that actually means. So now the improvement we are seeing now, the lower base score that we have, are the result of bank reporting suspicious, you know, transactions. In the first place, you also have the law enforcement cooperating across agencies, you know, and of course the policymakers, you know, tightening up the rules as well, you know. So yeah, it's not one man show. It's a number of institutions that are doing their bit. Yeah, and it's very interesting. This is one area where we really have, you know, we put in so much, we're putting in so much to really, you know, be how would I say it, look clean, you know, because it could affect, it would affect our country, definitely image and reputation as well. And the way doing business. So, yeah. So in that sense, yes, we should be part, we should actually pat ourselves, on the back, for achieving that. The system is working better than it used to, you know? So we should actually pat ourselves on the back. All right. Okay. I'm doing that. Do that too. All right. So now let's look at the EU gray cloud that's on our head. So now on the 10th, was it the 10th? Let me just see my note quickly. Yeah, on the 10th of June, the European Commission updated its list of higher risk countries. You know, higher risk country. Namibia's name is on it. It was on it, on that name. Alongside African country, alongside like Algeria, Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, Kenya, and few other outside Africa. You see, it's actually strong, kind of strong countries that have a very strong economies here. You know, Algeria, Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, you know, Kenya. So, yeah, so it's not something to be too hard on ourselves, you know. Yeah, so if you look at who are also on that list, you can, you know, it's like when you are in a certain situation and you look at the people around you, next to you in that group, you're kind of like, okay, all right. Yeah. So now why we were, you know, we're on the gray cloud, on the gray list, because earlier this year in February, the Financial Action Task Force, okay, that is the FATF, okay, when you hear FATF, you know, it's the Financial Action Task Force. You have heard that actually for, recently quite a lot. So that's actually the global watchdog. You call it the global watchdog. You can call it the global watchdog. That put Namibia on its so-called gray list. All right. That's what it put us on the gray list. That means they found some strategic deficiencies in our system. Yeah. So, because of those strategic deficiencies, we are then put on that gray list. Okay. So now the EU rules are clear. They are very, very, very clear. If the FATF gray lists you, if they gray list you, the EU almost automatically lists you too. They also list you. So, well, it's not personal. It's just procedural. It's not personal. That's just procedural. So it's not that they hate you or something, you know, it's just procedural. All right. So, but here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Okay. Being on that list means bank in Europe will treat your transactions, will treat transactions from Namibia with extra caution. So that's where now the problem comes in. They will do what is called, you know, enhanced, what is the word? Enhanced due diligence. Okay. So they will do now enhanced due diligence. Now more checks, more questions, more paperwork. You understand? So, and that would affect now, not only, as an individual, if you are now from this country where it's gray listed, you know, you go through all those troubles. So that's the problem. Okay. Especially for those who maybe order their stuff from European countries and things like that. So the bank now in Europe, they will treat your transaction, whether individual from Namibia, with extra caution. So that's the tricky part. So, but, and I think this is not, it's a big not, you know, it's not a sanction. You know, when you're on a gray list, it's not like you are sanctioned. Okay. So it doesn't block trade or investment. No. Okay? It's not a sanction. So, but it does make financial transaction slower. If you, you know, it makes it much slower because you go through a lot of checks. You go through a lot of questions. You go through a lot of paperwork. So it makes it slower. It makes more costlier than it should be. And sometimes more definitely as a business person may be frustrating for a business and individual dealing with Europe. So yeah, those are the consequences of being on a gray list, you know, being listed. Okay. So now I was talking about the contradiction earlier. How can both things be true? You know, we are improving, but we're still a higher risk. You know, how can both things be true? Yeah? How can be both things be true? Now, think of it like this, okay? So I don't know whether this is going to make sense. Now, think of it like this. You can go from being a C student to a B student, all right? And that's a great progress, you see? Just like Namibia now, we're moving. Now, but if your school still has you on an academic promotion, for example, so you have got to keep proving yourself, isn't it? You have to keep proving yourself over time before they take you off of that watch list, isn't it? So it's exactly that way. That's Namibia right now. That's where we are right now. So we have made visible progress, but the FATF and the EU want to see those improvements stick, that they want to see that, you know, it stick and be effective in the real world cases. You understand? So they are saying, yeah, show us you can keep it up for a longer haul, you know? So that's what they are saying. Okay. So, that's the main thing. That's why, as I said, we can be both. Yes, they are the progress, but the European, they still want to see that this improvement is real and it can stick and it can be effective in the real world. If this is happening, how do you deal with the cases of financing terrorists and things like that? So show us you can keep it up for a longer period of time. So that's what that's why we're still on that gray list, why we are still, you know, higher risk. Okay. So what is at stake now? What is at stake for Namibia and maybe for you? You never know. So here is why you listening at home or driving right now, or why you should care about this. All right. So for you as an ordinary citizen, if you are sending money to family in Europe, for example, or paying, you could be paying for studies abroad, bank transfers might take longer, or required extra document. You'll be asked to, you know, to provide some extra documents. So it may be a little bit tedious, you know, process because of amount of information you'll be asked or things you'll be asked to provide. So for you as well as a citizen, this would affect you. So that's a reason why it should be, you know, you care about this. For business, as we mentioned earlier, especially exporters, so exporters or importers, it doesn't matter, or tourism operators, it could be a tourism operator. So payment from European partners could face, you know, delays, which can hurt, you know, if you're a small business, which can hurt your cash flow. So yeah, that's also a concern. I mean, that's also why you should really care about that, as a business person and for the economy as well, perception matters. Yeah. How we are perceived by international, institution, especially financial international institution, it matters. we cannot just rely on local lenders, for example. We have IMF and World Bank. Sometimes we need money from them. So there are perception matters. If we can get our house in order, why not? Why not? Sometimes it's not just kind of like being arrogant. No. You know, if you can get your house in order, because all what it says, well, have your house in order. You know, even if EU says, this is not a sanction, some investor might see the label high risk and think twice. You understand? It's not a sanction, but some investors may look at that and say, whoa, no, not to Namibia. Not Namibia. So, yeah, those are things that we, you know, as I said, perception matter. And this is also for our reputation. Okay? It's also for our reputation being on a list, you know. Well, I only want to be on the list that, you know, the top whatever in something that is actually good, but not on, you know, like with the fifth best, you know, in controlling money laundering and financial crime on the continent. That's the list you want to be on. Yeah? That's the list you want to be on. And being on the list, you know, of higher risk, that can affect how we are seen globally, you know, how we are seen globally. And even if the underlying reality is improving, you know, we need to be seen in a well reputable kind of way. You understand? You know, and that's why. And we're doing well. Seriously, Namibia is very doing good in terms of improving. And you see how we have, you know, we have make all the effort. And sometimes we even, you know, submit earlier than when it was expected. You remember, you know, we looked at all this. We even providing information providing extra information that are not even asked, you know. So, yeah, by next year, there are still other things that I think we need to submit before the another look at, you know, where we are. So, yeah. So the Finance Intelligence Center, you know, says Namibia will do a full national risk assessment in 2026. You know, they also want to, you know, to strengthen transparency around. You remember when we were asked to submit this, who owns the company, you know, that beneficial ownership, you know? So they want to strengthen the transparency around, you know, beneficial ownership. That's why that was processed, you know, where was started. It's part of this was really, about this. And that means knowing exactly who owns company, because it could be owned by some terrorist in Afghanistan or somewhere else. And so you can't hide behind shell companies to move dirty monies, you know? Yeah, so, yeah, those are good things. And hopefully, you know, we get them. So, And then there is the FATF, the action plan, a set of steps we must, you know, complete to get off the grey list. So there are those ones. Once we do that, the EU will review, and then hopefully, voila, remove us from its list too. So hopefully we will get out of their list as well. So I think the lesson here, okay, and this is actually, I think this is the lesson. The lesson here is that in financial crime prevention, okay, in financial crime prevention, it's not enough to pass law, okay? It's not just enough to pass law. You have to prove over time that those laws are working in practice and that you can enforce them consistently. I think that's the lesson here. And we actually being pushed to do that. Okay? Given we want all what comes with this, I mean, we talk about reputation, we mentioned that and all that. So we're doing that. And as I said, this is the lesson. It's not just about, you know, you pass the law. No, you have to prove over time that that law are working in practice and that you can actually enforce them consistently. And that should go with all the laws in the country. You know, it's not just about passing the law. Because most of the time, it's just that we have a law in place. And we can refer to it sometimes, you know, when we find ourselves in a situation. So, but it's there on the shelf. It's the reading that Kanjengo was talking about. Pick up the law. What is the policy saying? You know, what is the policy saying? And this is also what the president actually, you know, and the prime minister are really hammering on. It's kind of like they hammers and they, you know, they hit on the head of everybody. Hey, yeah, two, you know, and you don't want to be hammered on top of you don't want to be hammered. Yeah, you want to, you know, you want to take, you know, take the law yourself, you know, take the document yourself, read it, understand it, and be able to implement what is in the law. So, and that goes with you as well as you listening. Understand, you know, policies, understand the laws, understand, you know, do like, what was that? Itula, you know, the IPC, you know, president, you know. So, you know, when he started, he got to actually quote every law, every constitution article and, you know, do that. Understand that. You can only, as I said, I always said, you know, you can only involve in any, you can only involve in dialogue. Even if you, now, even when we have, let's say, for example, we just had actually elections, you know, if you don't know what your councillors are expected to do, for example, if you don't know your mayors or some, how do you hold them accountable? And you don't even care knowing what do they do? Eh? What do they do? What is that they do? If you're listening and you, you know, what are mayors supposed to do? What are the councillors supposed to do? Eh? So you can only hold them accountable when that service is not delivered, but you know what is exactly what they need to do. If you don't, how would you hold them accountable? Even in any situation, in any given job anyway. So unless you know what I need to do, unless you know what am I supposed to do, you can't hold me accountable. Yeah? Anyone, in any way. In any situations. So, yeah, so that's a lesson there. So we could also, there are also, some would say, you know, we are doing well. The Basel Index proves it, yes. And the EU listing is just bureaucratic. Some would say this. Others will argue, you know, if we were really as good as fifth best in Africa sounds, you know, we wouldn't be on the gray list at all. So these are different, you know, perspective. Both have a point, but both have a point. The Basel Index looks at readiness. And that's a different. The Basel Index look at readiness, the legal framework, the institution, the risk environment, you know, the FATF, you know, the FATF looks at effectiveness. They're looking at different things. One is looking at the readiness. You know, do you have legal framework? Do you have the institution? Do you have the risk environment? Sure, it's looking at that. Now, FATF is looking at effectiveness. It's looking whether those system now you have in place actually stop crime in a real cases, in a real space. Yes, sir? So those are two different things, okay? And we should appreciate both. All right, and we're doing okay. And remember, money laundering is not just about flash drug deals, you know, or corruption scandals, okay? It's not only about that. it can be as subtle as inflated invoice. You know, this is something that could happen in, might be happening in your office. You could be something that you yourself is involved. You know, fake consultants' fees, for example. You know, or moving money through friends' account. Now you have even digital, you know, cryptocurrencies and things like that. You know, there's so many, you know, many ways of money laundering these days. You understand? So it's not just about some kind of some drug dealing or some kind of, you know, or corruption scandals. No, it could be as subtle as possible that you don't even, you know, you don't even recognize that you could be involving in it. So yeah, and if we look at in terms of the bigger picture now, so for Namibia, this is also about our development path. We have to look at in that way. So if you want to attract investment, grow our economy and meet the target of NDP 6, so and Vision 2030, so we need a financial system that the world, not only that also the world trusts. You know, when you have African Development Bank, when you have a loan from African Development, they can be able, now they can trust our financial system. You know, when we have loaned from that, it's not just about, think about the European, but think also about, you know, whether it's any financial institution, what would want to have that trust in your financial system. So, and we have seen in other countries, once trust is broken, once that trust is broken, it can take years to rebuild. So, but if we keep moving in the right directions, we can turn at this moment into a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. You understand? So, yeah, there's hope. And one thing that we can be really proud is that we're doing something. So, and we're moving in the right directions. So, all right. So, what is your take? What is your what would you say? What is your take on our improvement? 0833-66091, 0833-66091. I know many of you are on holiday. Don't let your mind, don't go with your mind on holiday and just close off. No. Still think, man. Don't just go on holiday and close off. Okay? So turn it to zero. You know? That should be the other way. All right? 0833-66091.
Omutiha wetekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende kuimeneha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo moe programa zetu moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu datu heari hamano tano o ambiyaji Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. And if you're an on-go kind of person like me, you know, that's why I have my app. I have my, Eagle FM mobile app with me. So that wherever I find myself, well, I can always listen to my favorite programs like Kuthamosha, you know. So, yeah. So hopefully Unpacking the Day is your favorite one, so you don't miss it. And it's a holiday, so you will be moving. And in some area, depending also on the rain and whatever, you may not be able to access the frequency. So, yeah, have your app with you. And if you have it on your phone, definitely that you will be connected all the time. Whether you're traveling outside of the country or inside the country, you'll be still connected. The other thing is also you can get to our our website, www.eaglefm.com.na. So you will be then able to also, listen to the live broadcasting as well there, and so many other informations as well. So make sure that you download the app and be connected. So good morning.
You are saying it's because it's a holiday.
Yeah.
Is it a holiday or just because we are the informal, we are engaged in the informal activity and it's regarded as a holiday and it's regarded as it is not variable to work?
It's a psychological thing. You know, when you let's say, for example, you are attending a workshop, from Monday to Friday. So Monday, your energy is so higher. When it's come to Thursday, when it's come to Wednesday, your energy start to go to drip down, So, and Friday, you're thinking already home or whatever. You're not there already. I think in much of our mind, wherever we are, we're already on holiday. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's not our problem. It's actually when people are listening to formal work, they say you're on holiday, you're not working. And the one wonder if that is the case, that we are here, they are talking about communal farming, and issues like that. How do we do the communal farming to bring it at the level of commercial? Like the honorable was the ambassador was talking about, and now we are regarded as if we are on holiday, and our activities are not valued to add to the economic activity.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah,
and it's a problem. Those are some of the issues that we have, even in our policies. Because if somebody asks for a leave now,
yeah,
we say it's a leave, it's on holiday.
Mm.
But you are here working. And the reason why most of all the houses here, homesteads here, are not giving those grants and things like that. Why? It's because they are producing from the informal economic activities.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be like that. So let's just, because I know that even the commercial, some of them are not even given time to go to their families. When they go into Oshimbas and other things. Because they are working there. The moment they release you, they say, yes, you're on holiday. Which holiday is this one? Which is it because it's not compensated?
Yeah.
So those are issues. And the green, the rating.
Yeah.
The rating of those agencies are actually not appreciated in many sectors, even in Africa. I was hearing from the conversation in Africa, in South Africa, where they are saying that those ratings are actually instituted to put us on the, and a lot of misconceptions are coming. No, South Africa is not good. Oh, Namibia is not good. Oh, this other one is not good. Of course, there are areas where we need to improve in terms of security and safety.
Yeah.
But when they list us, they list us so that we cannot even have the access to funding. Our small medium enterprise and all these other things, they are depressed just because of those preconditions. We should also give them some kind of strange condition and say, no, you guys, you are risking us. And most of those rating and statistics are actually obtained from the secondary data. Not even from going to down to the village and say, yes, here we are, and this is the real situation. It's not a good thing. It's not. It's that interesting. It just want to undermine us and also to deprive us from the resources that are there. No wonder why the debt restructuring and all these multi companies are being restructured to fit the needs of all the people in the world. Yeah. So, Mike, thank you very much for that opportunity once in my way.
All right. No, thanks for coming through.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it shouldn't be. I could have actually interacted with him on that. There's a difference between the FATF and the other rating that, you know, when you borrowing money. Yeah, so there's a little bit of a difference there. So it's not the same institution. Yeah. 08 triple 08 triple 08 triple 3 66 091 08 triple 3 66 091. If you wanna, you know, have your say on Namibia rank among Africa best on money laundering control. Okay, so what is your say? What is your take on that? Yeah, so far, so we have made real. Just to wrap up on this story, we have made real measurable progress in strengthening our defense against financial crimes, and that's good news. Actually, that's good news, and we should acknowledge it. Okay, we should acknowledge it. So, but we're still on the FATF grey list, okay? And that means the EU, by its own rules, call us higher risk for now, okay? So, and this created a practical challenges for trade, banking, and of course our reputation, of course. But as I said earlier, it is not a sanction, okay? So one we have to understand that. So the only way off of this list is to keep doing the hard work. So it's to keep doing the hard work, enforcing the law, and remember, some of these are things that in our own interest as well. It's the best of our own. It's for the best of. It's also if we do this right, it's also for our own, you know, for our own good. You understand? So if you have system that are actually, you know, controlling and protecting you from money laundering and all that, that's good for you. It's good for your country. It has nothing to do with much of Europe, of course. Okay? So enforcing the law, proving the system works, and showing the world we can sustain this improvement. So we should be able to do here. All right? So maybe do you think Namibia's improvement are enough to change our global reputation? Of course it should. And do we still have a long road ahead? Of course we do. So still, let's hear from you. Our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of 9. You can still come through and let's hear from you. And because this is not just a government issue. So it's about the integrity of the economy we all share. So, what is your saying? What is your take on that? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning. Are you making breakfast?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're all right. We're okay.
Yeah.
I have actually my nose blocked for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah. But I'm okay. Yeah. Mm.
All right. You know, sometimes these things, when they are happening, the statements, things are not really the way they seem to be.
Yeah.
You remember last year in February, Namibia was grey listed together with South Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, their requirements.
And South Africa actually got off recently. Yeah.
Got off recently. So, yeah. You know, when I observe this thing, it has to do with joining BRICS. And, you know, the international community, it's obvious that they are against any other country joining BRICS for economic reasons. So now there are requirements which the countries are given to fulfill.
Yeah.
And perhaps this is just another way of saying that probably we are halfway fulfilling those requirements.
Yeah. But you know, I don't see with this kind of assessment, if you like, it's actually for the best, it's actually for the good of your own country. You know, what it's asking is that, do you have laws in place that actually, you know, control money laundering and financial crimes? You know, so are your laws working? You know, are they effective? So that's what they're looking at. And that would be helpful for you. And that's why you see that the country is really taking this seriously. It's because it's not just something that being manipulated by European or something, but it's something that would be good for your own countries as well. You don't want to lose money because there are lots of countries that lose billions through money laundering.
Yeah, I understand. And here's the catch.
Yeah.
Let's look at the bigger picture. For example, I can ask you, what does the IMF have, why does it have an interest in a country having money laundering laws in their own land? And the question is, you know, the answer is, like, who is funding them? Why do they have such an interest? Because as African countries...
If you come to me, let's say for example, okay? Yeah. You country like, okay, if you come to me and ask me money, I want to know that the money I'm giving you will be secure. Do you have the rules and regulation that protect my money that I'm giving you? Because this is not charity.
Yeah, but if you are a bank and you are supposed to be a capitalist, you won't have an interest on how I'm going to make to be able to retain that money, as long as I retain it on time, with the interest that you requested me to pay.
No, the other thing is that one looking at, okay, I want to help you. Sometimes, you know, this financial institution actually refuse to give countries money. It's not that every time they ask, they give money. Now, they refuse because of certain conditions that those countries don't meet. And therefore, they now looking at, unless you actually have this, you have your house in order, I'm not going to be able to give it. This also goes with your individual. If you go and get a loan, there are conditions that are there. So now to help you, I may tell you, okay, do these, follow these and follow this. Once you do this, you know, you'll be in a position where you can be able to get, you know. So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, but you remember, okay, let's get practical. You remember what happened in Kenya?
Yeah.
Sometimes last year, there was some protest which were happening.
Yeah.
And the reason why they were happening is because IMF issued a statement instructing the country on what to do for them to recover the money and pay back the money. And one of the things they did was to say that they must increase the taxes.
Yeah.
You remember such a statement? But the question is, why do they have to give those instructions? Why do they have to instruct the country on what to do? You know? So those are the things. Those are the things. So if you look what happened in February last year, it you know, it raised the questions whether it was just to stop these countries, you know, from joining BRICS, because you know that joining BRICS spells a weaker US dollar. And the countries have to, you know, they have to come up with measures on how to stop the countries joining BRICS. And this is what happened.
Come on, guys. This is an anti-money laundering index, you know.
On paper, that is what is happening. But
we become so paranoid, you know.
In actual fact, somehow we don't have proof. But when we observe how these things are happening, we can see, okay, all right, South Africa exited. But what is the progress? What were they told to fulfill? About 22. They were given a list of 22 items they have to, you know, to fulfill.
Yeah, no, okay. I understand. If you're talking in terms of IMF and the World Bank, that's a different category.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about, so this one, okay, I understand if you're referring into that, yeah, possibly there could be other, you know, other agenda, you know, within that framework. So, but this is basically, this is anti-money laundering, you know, kind of, framework, you know. Because the good thing about is that, you know, money laundering is not, it's between countries and therefore you have to have strong system between countries to prevent that. You understand? And you have to have some kind of a similar way doing things rather than just, you know, each one is just following his own rules. You understand?
Yes, I do understand. And you know, once a country is, it is basically just the same thing, because once a country is grey listed, it's scared of investors.
Yeah.
And if you look at the countries which were added to the list, some of those countries are those ones which some of them happen to show interest joining BRICS, and apart from maybe countries like Haiti, which is somehow affected by the, you know, by these gangs and all those type of things. But yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, the modus operandi is almost the same. It's basically to say, do you have weak systems which can be infiltrated by financing of terrorism? Because, you know, the something that they call, for example, know your customer.
Mm.
So that it's a kind of tracking to track financial transactions. Why are they happening? Where are they happening?
Mm.
The reason why they are happening, and so forth and so forth. But, you know, according to me, I feel like there are some, you know, sometimes you have to be politically correct. And some of these terminologies have a deeper meaning.
Yeah.
And this is what we were discussing in the morning, to say, okay, sometimes, for example, let's look at AGOA, for example.
Yeah.
One of the requirements for the countries to be part of AGOA is that they have to enact human rights laws.
Yeah.
And now it's just human rights, but this is a terminology. And now we know the real meaning of human rights they are talking about because of what happened in Uganda. After Uganda enacted that anti-gay law, you remember?
Mm.
And it was somehow repressed and suppressed, you know, after it was passed by Parliament.
Yeah.
So these terminologies have a deeper meaning. We might be saying it's, okay, it's, money laundering, but probably they could be also. I think I
agree in the sense to say that there are always people who hijack a good agenda. You understand? You know,
yeah.
Some people find this is an opportunity and they hijack that as a good opportunity for whatever agenda they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in itself, sometimes when you look at that, and I'm looking in terms of what the Financial Action Task Force does, which is actually like a global watchdog. What it does, it really even helping country actually to put system in place that would actually help that country itself. You understand?
Yeah.
You know? So in a way, if now there are other powerhouses, that uses this, you know, now to manipulate for their own interest and all that, that's a possibility. But just as many other institutions that we have nowadays, they can be manipulated, you know, by the powerhouse, by the bigger guys. Yeah. So, I'm not completely disagree with what you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
But I also looking at that and said, well, this also mean well, if it's done well. And if it's actually followed by what it meant to do, you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I'm also saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Mm. You see, the Financial Action Task Force, I was also keen. There was an interview I did. I don't know. Yeah. One of the interview I did, and I was asking a question to say, okay.
This is Matthias. This is Matthias.
Yes.
Oh man.
I posed this question to somebody and then the person said, okay, you see, because the thing is, we can see this organization is headquartered in France.
Yeah.
But who is funding it? Because they will fulfill the desires of those who are funding them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a bigger picture.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's simple. You can look at it in our own country, you know. The government may actually fund the project. You know, they actually have funded the project or they have this project that they want to fund. But within that, you still have actually people who want actually to benefit for themselves. So, and instead of actually doing what is expected, you know, they actually end up doing something that would benefit the individual. So you can take that on a global level, you know, in terms of between countries and things like that. So there are still institutions, financial institutions and much more that would do that for their own benefit and manipulate the way the law and the frame and legal framework work that are in place for their own benefit. Yeah. And even when we talk about BRICS, within BRICS, there are still maybe, you know, could be Russia, could be China, who would actually do things for their own benefit. You understand?
Mm.
Yeah. So nothing, as much as we're trying to move away from the dollar as a common goal, there's still other aspect that could be manipulated by this powerhouse for this one, for other members that are not powerful as China and Russia. You understand?
Yeah. I remember the statement our late president made when he went to the conference that in South Africa, that he asked a question to say, what will we benefit?
Yeah.
But I think nobody answered that question.
Exactly. And we are the one who need to fight for our position. You understand? We shouldn't be always now banging people. How do we benefit? How can you help us to benefit? No. We should actually position ourselves in the way that we are sitting on the table to benefit. You know, we shouldn't be crying anymore. We shouldn't be in the situation where we want, you know, Europe to help us and Russia to help our China. No, we have resources that can put us on the table and be able to negotiate. We shouldn't be crying, oh, who is going to help us? No, 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 no. We should fight for that. Okay?
Sure.
That man is going to kill me. Let's move it to Tate France. Thanks so much for coming through, yeah?
All right, next time. Until next time, yeah.
All right, great, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's 2 minutes past the hour of 10. Let's bring us also to the end of our episode today of Unpacking the Day. And thank you for coming through, for listening. I know you are listening. And I invite you to continue to do that. Coming up actually is Kutha Mosha. So there's always to take out in the program coming up. So listen to other programs that are lined up throughout the day. I wish you, if you're on holiday, have fun, rest. You know, don't do what Ango Bwana is saying. You know, you go and work again. So maybe you have no choice. You have to go. You go and do that again at home. So yeah, but have a rest. You don't want to, when you come back, you're so exhausted and you aren't contributing much to, you know, to the growth and development of our economy. So make sure that you rest, you take care of yourself. And if you're driving, make sure that you're driving carefully. You follow all the traffic rules. Don't rush. What are you rushing for? You're on holiday, for God's sake. Okay. And make sure that you save the life of others as well. So from me, Mike, let's do this tomorrow again. We still have another day tomorrow to do this. And have a good day. And just join us for, we're crossing over now to Tate France with Kutha Mosha. Coming up. And bye from me.